This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest today is African conservationist Paula Kahumbu, author of Secrets of the Elephants, a gorgeous National Geographic coffee table book that is a companion to the TV series of the same name. Paula is Zooming with me today from her home in Nairobi, Kenya, in East Africa. Paula, welcome to Book Talk.
Thank you so much. What an honor to be here.
Tell us a story that appears early in your book about your first introduction to working with elephants.
There are several. One of the first experiences I had with elephants, I was doing a stock take of the ivory stockpile in Kenya when I was in my early 20s. It was at the invitation of Dr. Ian Douglas Hamilton, who's a very famous elephant scientist, and he had been at the core of fighting for elephants. And one of the ways that we were going to challenge the crisis facing elephants in Africa, at least in Kenya, was to destroy that ivory. But before we destroyed it, the government wanted an ivory stock take to be done. And Ian asked me if I would take that on. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I had to go into the vaults of the National Museums of Kenya, which was at that time being run by Richard Leakey, who was a colleague and a friend from when I was a child. And I literally had to go into this vault with a team of students from university. I created this little chain of pipeline of work that we would do to take every single task. Now, a task might weigh 20 to 30 kilograms or more, so they're big. They are dusty. They've been, many of them, been in there for years. They are stinky because they're covered in bits of old flesh. And our job was to measure every single task, the outside line of it and the inside line of it, plus the depth of the pulp cavity. And this information told us whether it was a male or a female and how old it was. And on the side of the tusk was some information written in indelible markers. And that information was where the tusk came from and the date. So we were creating a data sheet of all this information, which I analyzed, and basically it revealed that the poaching had been going on for some time, that the elephants were getting smaller and smaller, or younger and younger. The tusks were becoming so tiny that by the time we were doing that assessment, which was 1989, some of those tusks belonged to tiny baby elephants, you know, maybe 3 years old, 4 years old elephants, which was heartbreaking. It really did surprise me how much that profoundly affected my interest in working on elephants, because every tusk had the marks of machetes. Some of them had the marks of bullets. And what it meant to me was that these animals were doomed. There was going to be no future for them. So I decided I wasn't going to work on elephants. It just didn't feel like it was worth it. That why study an animal that's about to go extinct? That was my 23-year-old, you know, thinking at the time. Yeah, and it took me a few more years before I went into the field with these two phenomenal women from Amboseli. One of them, her name was Nora Sayalel, and her colleague, Nora Njiraini, and Soila Sayalel. They were the assistants of Cynthia Moss, an American researcher. She was running the longest elephant research study in the entire world. These two ladies took me on for 2 weeks as an intern. And I spent this time with them, bouncing around in the back of their Land Rover, counting elephants. And really what they were doing was talking to the elephants. They could identify every individual by name, by its face, what it looked like, by the way it walked, by who it was with. And it really stunned me that these animals were no longer just in, you know, like some strange, like if you look at a herd of zebra, they don't, you can't really tell one apart from the other. But, and I thought the same about elephants until I went out with these two ladies. Suddenly they were individuals with personalities. They had roles and responsibilities in the family, and they had such character. And they knew these women. They would stop and listen to them. Some of them would even approach the vehicle. One of them started leaning towards the car and trying to peer in the window. And the joy and wonder that these women had with these elephants every single day, and they'd been doing it for years, it just made me think that that's what I wanted. If they could do it, I could do it. These ladies had never gone past high school, and yet this was their life. And to me, that was just, you know, that would be a dream if I could become an elephant scientist. The Secrets of the Elephants book and the series as well is broken up into the different types of elephants that we have. There are three distinct species of elephants: the savannah elephants, which most people know about, the Asian elephants, which again are really distinct, and then we have African forest elephants, which is a species that was only recognized as an unique species a couple of years ago. And then we have the desert elephant. It's not a species, but it's a type of elephant that is uniquely adapted to the desert conditions in Namibia.
The title of the book refers to secrets of the elephants. What is that? What are those secrets?
Well, elephants are one of the best studied animals in the world. And so many people know a lot of things. These are highly, highly intelligent animals that are increasingly unveiling through the decades of research that's going on. So what we're discovering now is that there's something going on with elephants that we never appreciated before, might explain how they organize themselves, how they make decisions, how they solve problems, and how they communicate information from generation to generation. And as a result, elephants actually have a form of culture.
How long have there been elephants in the world?
Elephants have existed for millions of years. They evolved in Africa, and they outnumbered up to 12 different species at the same time. Wow. So what we have now is a tiny relic of what the former diversity of elephants was. They have been around millions of years, tens of millions of years even. I think most people don't understand elephants live in communities. They live in families. They are ruled by matriarchs. And as a community, they live and work together to support the whole unit. They can memorize numbers of each other. Other has shown that elephants can even identify tribes of people by the sounds of their languages. They know which people are more dangerous than others. They even have members of the family who are nannies, and they have matriarchs who are the oldest females, who are females who have passed the breeding age. They literally go into menopause, like humans. It's one of the only species that does this. They remain very relevant and, way as if they have been bereaved. We rarely see this in species other than primates, whales, dolphins. Whenever I spend time with elephants, it always surprises me that when you're in the presence of elephants, you get this feeling. And they're saying more than just looking at you. You know, when we go out there, we look at elephants with our eyes or through our binoculars. Hearing things, no idea, that are sometimes kilometers away. They also feel vibrations, and they're smelling with that incredible trunk of theirs. They have a sense of smell many times more sensitive than a dog. And that means they can sense things like fear. They can sense anger. They can sense all kinds of things have zero detection of ourselves through our very limited olfactory, you know, support.
Is there anything we didn't cover here that you'd like to add?
There's one thing that I really hope we can emphasize, which is the great peril that the desert elephants are in. I've been mostly working in East Africa, and this project gave me the opportunity to travel across Africa and Asia, which was a dream come true. But it was also heartbreaking to see the situation in Namibia, where unless action is taken very soon, we could lose a whole ecotype of elephants, which actually means a group of elephants that have a specific culture. And that would be such a huge loss, not only to elephants, but also to us as humans. And so I hope that the book and the series not only inspires people and, you know, gives them great joy to learn about elephants, but also motivates people to care more and to take action to help us to save the desert elephants. I think that that would be the most honorable thing we can do, given that millions of people are going to benefit from learning about these incredible animals. We really need to take action to save them.
Well, thank you. My guest is Paula Kahumbu, author of Secrets of the Elephants, published by National Geographic. This is Diana Cordy.
Thank you. I'm